In this episode of the Monday Christian series, we conclude the theme of faith by interviewing Dr. Mokgaitsi Somo, who as a Christian practices secular psychology. From her experience in working with refugee families in America to opening a private practice in South Africa, she explains why belief cannot really be separated from psychology and how spirit-led wisdom can bring healing to clients, even when they do not share the same belief system.
Welcome to Reframed. Join us as we explore the concept of redemptive business in our unique context on the African continent.
Welcome to this episode of the Monday Christian series. My name is Lisa Marie Kaiser and I'm part of the Zawani team. I do not sound like Sibs because even though we are really good friends, I am not him. So it's my privilege today to be interviewing Dr. Mokgaitsi Charity Somo, and I'm so excited to be talking to you today as part of the Zawani Monday Christian series, where we're exploring how the gospel narrative shapes our understanding and our daily reality of work. But first, please tell us a bit more about who Mokgaitsi is and your professional journey up to now.
Hi, Lisa Marie. Thank you so much for welcoming me to the Monday Christian podcast. It's for me a privilege to be here. I am Dr. Mokgaitsi, and I was born and bred in Pretoria in the township of Mamelodi. I'm a proud aunt of two nieces and one beautiful nephew. I studied my undergraduate once I matriculated from the German school Pretoria. I went to the University of Pretoria and I did my undergraduate in psychology. Then I did my honours and master's in educational psychology, both at the University of Pretoria. And then I went off to Athens, Georgia in the United States. And there I earned my PhD in marriage and family therapy. So that is a little bit about me personally and professionally.
That sounds amazing that you have been in a German school studying in Pretoria and then having the opportunity to study in America as well. And you spent quite a number of years there, if I recall.
Yes, I was there for 6 years doing a PhD in marriage and family therapy. It included coursework, research, and then research dissertation, as well as a clinical internship that I did at an interdisciplinary clinic for children with neurodevelopmental disorders. I worked as an intern family therapist there, helping families with young kids with neurodevelopmental disorders.
Sure, that sounds like such important work. I'm really excited to hear how that journey has influenced your view on the integration of faith and work. I just want to contextualize it. In the previous three episodes, Paul Kim and Sib Sibanda discussed some of the foundational ideas about faith. So they argued quite persuasively that every belief system, whether Christian or secular, is based on a set of assumptions which, together with our past experiences and our future hopes, create a simplified model of reality on which we base our day-to-day decisions. What I would like to know from you is, how do you integrate your Christian faith and your professional work in the field of psychology?
Yeah, Lisa Marie, that's a really good question. I am privileged enough that I became a believer in 2003 when I was first year university, and that was in my first semester of studying psychology. So I'm privileged in the sense that ever since I was a believer, ever since I started having a relationship with God, I've been thinking about how to integrate psychology with my belief system. And so I feel like I started on the right foot about, you know, how does God fit into my professional work? So it's never really been separate for me. The two have always been well integrated. I normally use two principles to integrate my faith into my practice of psychology. But now I have a small private practice in Pretoria and doing marriage and family therapy and in adult counseling. And so I use normally two principles that help me to integrate my faith into my private practice of psychology. The first principle is that counseling is God's ministry. In John 14, we see that Jesus leaves the disciples with the Holy Spirit, and there he's referred to as the counselor. Mm. And, you know, the counselor in the sense of someone, a paraclete, that's the original word, as someone who walks alongside you as legal counsel. But that has been also understood to be as a comforter, one who tells the truth, and one who strengthens as well. So counseling is actually Christian ministry. So in psychology, that's what we do. We counsel people. We help people to heal. We comfort people. We give them strength, which is a spiritual gift and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I see this, you know, counseling as more than an occupation, but as a way to bring healing to people, which is what the Holy Spirit also does. And then the other thing that I do is that no one will ever argue with you when you use the fruits of the Spirit to counsel people.
That's very good.
Yeah. No one will ever deny that forgiveness will bring healing to couples and to families and to individuals. Nobody will argue that finding joy in difficult circumstances is a way to persevere and build character. No one will argue with kindness, self-control, endurance. And those are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's so wonderful to integrate that into counseling people, and being a therapist is using God's principles to bring healing to people.
That is such a life-giving way to explain the industry. And it reminds me of Nancy Pierce's book called Total Truth, in which she addresses the question, does Christianity have a legitimate role to play in the public realm of politics, business, law, and education? And in your case, the practice of psychology. Do you think it's right that we relegate religion to the strictly private realm of personal values? And have you ever been under the pressure to compartmentalize your Christian beliefs from your scholarly work for fear of committing academic suicide?
Yeah. Well, I'll answer, you know, in two parts. The first part is that it's unrealistic to separate faith and psychology, because a lot of hurting people ask this question: where is God? What is God doing? Why is God doing this? So a lot of people already want to know what God's role is in their lived experiences. And so the two naturally integrate. And that's both for Christians and non-Christian. People recognize that there is a higher power that's in control that could possibly help them, or that could possibly change the course of their lived experiences. And so people have that fundamental question about what is God doing with my circumstance. So it's really impractical to separate religion in the practice of psychology, because people want to know fundamentally, what is the role of God in this? And it's our duty to help them to see what God thinks and what God can do to help them and to heal them. To answer your second question is that we have to be wise about how we conduct our research as Christians. Now, the simplest answer is that there are topics that glorify God and that bring joy to God and that don't contradict God's word.
Yes.
And then there are topics that do. So wisdom is selecting those research topics that will not contradict God's word. And you have to be very careful, very smart and shrewd about how you communicate that. But as Christians, we have to be wise about selecting research topics that will bring glory to God. But we also need to remember that God asks us to dwell in the land and do good and prosper as it prospers. So we need to make sure that we're doing community work that will bring healing and joy to the community in general.
That sounds so good. I'm reminded of when we had our previous conversation that you said you were really blessed in having mentors as practicing psychologists who had already grappled with the whole integration of their faith into the psychology industry. And that was also formative for you, is seeing the lived experience of mentors in the field who are not afraid to say, I am a Christian.
Yeah, I mean, I was absolutely, totally blessed. While I was in the US, unfortunately, my younger sister passed away. So due to that grief and the trauma, I had to go and see a therapist. And praise be to God, I decided to see a Christian counselor. So he was not a registered Christian counselor, but he was a secular counselor who was a Christian. And so he used Christian principles during our counseling, and I'm forever grateful for him for that. For example, we would pray during therapy, because remember I said when a tragedy happens to you, when life happens to you, you immediately want to know, where is God? What is the role of God? And so he helped me integrate that. He was integrating the Christian perspective in the counseling, and we'd pray at the end of session as well. So I was fortunate that through the counseling, he actually mentored me and he showed me how to do it for people who are specifically looking for that. Because remember, when you're a secular counselor, you are not just counseling Christian clients. You may counsel Christian clients, and if they so choose, you can directly integrate Christian principles, even prayer, right? Even healing practices such as prayers. And then I did my internship, my marriage and family therapy internship in Chattanooga in the state of Tennessee. And there, my supervisor was a believer. And he mentored me in terms of, yes, how do you, as a Christian, practice secular psychology? I could see, and he could help me. We could talk and discuss and process all of that together. And it was wonderful. Because another thing is, when you are a therapist, you also processing what your clients are processing. So, you know, the personal and the professional do collide. So even him strengthening me professionally and personally as a therapist, he enabled me to practice as a Christian who's practicing secular psychology.
That's such a beautiful example of the one generation paving the way for the next generation. And I'm really sorry also to hear of your sister's passing. But I think that in the healing of that, it has enabled you to also become a better counselor. There's a depth of suffering that has brought life. I hope that you bless many because of that you've gone through. I want to change the conversation a little bit in a different direction and talk about when you completed your studies in Georgia and you worked in the US as well. And I'd like to find out how that exposure to international cultures changed the way that you approach psychology.
So I learned that we are all the same at heart and at soul. Our desires, our fears, our joys, our hopes are all the same as humanity. I had the privilege of working with refugees, were refugee families while I was in the state of Georgia. They were newly settling refugees from East Asia. Even comparing that international group with South Africans and North Americans, it is very clear that at heart and at soul, we are all the same people. Those desires express themselves differently. Those fears express themselves differently. Those hopes express themselves differently. But we do all want joy, we do all want peace, we do all want prosperity, we all want to hope. And so that's what I learned, that people are the same. And so that's why I could actually study in America, practice in America, and then come and continue here. Because at the core of who we are really the same humanity. The other thing is that what this has helped me professionally, especially, is that in the US, seeing a therapist is normalized. And so I learned the skills of just, it was so, I guess, so easy for me to get into the rhythm of being a therapist. And I had lots of experience because it's the norm. And so, whereas here, I found myself having to start off with mental health literacy. But I feel competent to do that because I've had such a in-depth experience, because, you know, seeing a therapist was the norm there. And so I think it made me a bold therapist.
So when you speak about psychology being normalized, you mean that it has been broadly accepted into society?
Yes.
Whereas in the South African or even the African context, maybe not so much?
So in South Africa, let me just start with the South African context. There's a gap in mental health literacy. A lot of people in South Africa, you know, there is a lot of, if you have mental health challenges, you ought to see a psychiatrist. And I often say you skipped about three professionals that you could see before you see a psychiatrist. You skipped a registered counselor, you skipped even a lay counselor, a coach, and then you skipped psychologist. and you went all the way to medicine and inpatient. So a lot of people think, and that brings about fear, right? That if I have to see a psychiatrist, that means I'm really unwell. That means they're going to hospitalize me. They're going to put me on medication. And so a lot of people don't want to get help when they need it, but they've skipped all other professionals that can help them without being an inpatient and without being on medicine. And so, but in the US, everybody understands the difference between a psychologist and a psychiatrist, a marriage and family therapist, a registered counselor, and they know what exactly the challenges that each of those professionals can address.
That makes a lot of sense. You also mentioned that you worked with refugee families, and your thesis actually focused on the treatment of trauma for refugee families. Can you perhaps share what motivated this decision and one or two practical ways that you managed to keep the faith despite spending so much time immersed in stories of suffering and trauma? Because I think there's one element to keeping your Christian faith, but in another way, keeping the faith that things can get better for your clients, that they... Why is there so much suffering, and how do you enable them to find healing and actually find a better future?
Yeah, so I started working with refugee families because I love community engagement. As a research scholar and as a clinician, I love to see practical ways to change the community. And so I kind of fell into it. A friend of mine in Georgia, her name is Savannah Spivey. She was working with refugee families. And I just was curious about the community engagement that she was doing to bring change to these families. So I kind of tagged along with her on her project. And then when she graduated, I think a year later, I took over from her work. She was in human development, so her angle and my angle were different. So I did mental well-being with refugee families. And so I fell in it because of my passion to bring about change into the community. And for, I think I have a soft spot for vulnerable families. And so refugee families are super vulnerable. And so what helped me to continue trusting the Lord, even though I've seen such horrendous and I've heard such horrendous stories from war trauma, is that I had to believe that there has to be justice in the world, because war trauma is really cruel and it's harsh. It's people in power just abusing other human beings. And so that another human being can have that kind of cruelty and power of another human being, I thought someone has to intervene with justice.
Yes.
And I quickly learned that it's not going to be earthly leaders. It's not. It has to be a heavenly father, and the justice has to be final. And so looking forward to a just day, that helped me to keep going with my faith. And then also, but also hope, especially hope of eternity. One thing that my sister's passing has taught me is about that earth is temporary. We may not get justice on this world. We may not get all our desires met on this world, but the looking forward to eternity, even for the refugee families, is that, oh my goodness, there has to be an eternity where there's joy, peace, love, and happiness. And so that hope that there's got to be more than war trauma, there's got to be more than injustice. And so that helped me to keep my faith and to hang on to God and say, I look forward to justice by God, and I'm also looking forward to eternal healing and joy and happiness for myself and for some of the refugee families, yeah.
Sure. So you found a way to pull through the eternal truths and to connect your Sunday faith with your Monday focus of doing your job well. And that is a big part of what it means to love God and people in and through our work. It's been so inspiring hearing from you. I don't know if you have any concluding remarks or a parting comment that you would like to leave our listeners with?
Not necessarily, but I just want to thank everybody for this opportunity. And, you know, I think that to be a Christian and a secular therapist doesn't have to be a contentious issue. we have to be ethical as secular psychologists, but we can use God's principles that are good. God created everything and he said it was good. So everything God does is good. And we need to remember that we bring goodness to people just by being Christians. And so, you know, we don't have to make it a contradictory issue, a contentious issue, because everything God created is good and we can use God's good principles to bring healing to people's lives.
Thank you so much, Mukhaiji. I'm looking forward to seeing you again and continuing our conversation.
Thank you. It was nice to meet you.
Thank you for joining us. This episode of Reframed was brought to you by Ziwani, a community of business leaders who partner together to live out their kingdom calling in the marketplace within Africa. Ziwani is a Mergon initiative. To know more about us, visit our website at ziwani.com. That's ZIWANI.com.